May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. People have no idea what one saint can do, for sanctity is stronger than the whole of hell. Thomas Merton. Each week as we get closer to Lent, you can feel the screws seem to twist a little bit more. The psalmist, once again, offers heartfelt longing to obey God's law. St. Paul reminds us that we, as God's people, are God's holy temple. And Jesus gives us those nigh unto impossible commands to turn the other cheek when assaulted and to pray for the well-being of those who wish us ill. And all three of these scriptural expressions, the desire to be more holy, the reminder that we are already holy, and the stern admonition to show holiness from the heart and not just in action. Well, all three of them are rooted in the Old Testament law, the Torah, which includes our reading from Leviticus. Now, Leviticus is one of those books that is either ignored, maligned, or esteemed, or sometimes all three at once. What do you mean, Lenny? Well, when we encounter, say for instance, rubrics about how many animals should be offered for what different types of sacrifices there were in the temple, well, we tend to yawn and skim over those sections. And then all of a sudden we bump up against a passage like when Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, offered, quote, unauthorized fire before the Lord. Maybe perhaps in the form of liturgical dance or tacky vestments. Well, it says that all of a sudden, fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them. Yeesh. God, isn't that a bit harsh? But then, we come across something like this. When a stranger sojourns with you in the land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as a native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Oh, yeah, God, I can get behind that. Give me your tired, your poor, your hungry, those yearning to breathe free. So in the same book, we have laws that are clearly obsolete, like the old sacrificial canons of the temple. We have laws that would definitely grate against modern Western ideas of justice, say, for instance, keeping women in a special tent during menstruation. And then we find laws that jibe with our eternal sense of justice, right and wrong that abides no matter when or where we live. Well, this morning, the lectionary conveniently selects a passage that resonates with that very last type. We read these divine commands in the Law of Moses, and we can see their wisdom and applicability today. Providing for the poor, telling the truth, not defrauding others, not stealing, paying your employees fairly, keeping corruption out of the justice system, not taking the law into your own hands. These are just a sampling of what God instructs his people to do in order to foster a godly society. These are public morals, public ethics. They aren't just private holiness, which frankly too many American Christians have emphasized too much for too long. We are part of a church in a locality, in a state, in a nation on this globe. We are not atomized units with no responsibility beyond ourselves. We exist in community, and we can only thrive when that community, however big or small, thrives. But what is more, how we treat others is an extension of who we are. God tells us to be holy because He is holy. We are God's. And since God is holy, we need to exhibit the same type of character. And godly character through and through is loving. Holiness isn't merely some sense of personal purity. It is a practiced morality that affects others. Christ-like character is not just a duty. It is a commitment that bubbles up from a heart with genuine devotion for God and deep care for others who are not me. A spirit-filled life isn't just one of good goosebumps now and good feelings in the future. It's a lifestyle that demonstrates the love of God in practical action. My grandpa used to tell me something his mother told him while growing up. Be useful, not just ornamental. Holiness in our Father's kingdom is more than just beautiful. It's the lubricant that makes the gears of love work to make a real difference in the lives of people. So being holy should be a natural expression of who we are as God's people. But of course, a quick perusal of the list here in Leviticus, we can see that as admirable as these commands are, they're not always easy to keep. No matter how much, like the psalmist, we are in longing to keep God's commandments, we fail. Slander is a daily occurrence on social media, and the ADA accessibility laws that make sure that we have ramps for the wheelchair bound still can't keep a prominent public figure from mocking people with disabilities. And fraud? Well, I recently was listening on the news to a pharmaceutical distribution middleman talk about how his clients had full disclosure regarding pricing, only to realize that he was talking about the manufacturers, not the consumers. Perhaps we're just merely marks to him. All this to say, living up to these laws, however noble, however applicable, however beneficial, well, it's no small feat. Then, when we add Jesus raising the bar, as he does throughout the Sermon on the Mount, we're left feeling helpless. What good is a promise that can't be kept? What good is an aspiration that you can't even lift a finger to fulfill? Well, we can't do this thing called life alone. We can't save ourselves. We can barely get out of bed some mornings. And none of us will live forever without divine intervention. Thankfully, we live under grace. God knows we are completely unable to breathe, let alone pray or obey without His help. This is why we are given the promise of His own Spirit if we take hold of His gift by faith and follow Jesus. And that makes sense if we accept Paul's observation that we are God's temple. Of course the Spirit wants to live within us. So our Lord is at work in us both to will and to do what God wants. The desire to do good is planted as a seed in our hearts when we place our trust in Jesus. And when it grows, it will blossom into the fruit of good works. By grace, we can be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, just as Jesus instructs us. Grace is a gift. It's offered at baptism, it's opened by faith, and it's applied when we allow that grace to permeate every aspect of our lives. But a gift left unopened, it isn't going to do anybody any good. So take hold of rightfully belongs to you. Jesus gave you this gift already. Why not take ownership of what is already yours? Believe Jesus. Trust the Spirit. Put your faith into the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Because if you do, not only will you be counted holy, you'll be entering in to that process of being made holy. And it's a holiness that will bear fruit in how you treat others. Let us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.